Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I said, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I said, hey,
what's going on?
Four non-blondes.
Four non...
And I said, and I'm driving around in Brasilia, and I don't let Checo drive past me. You say, hey, what's going...
That's maybe song of the day. Maybe. There's
could
a lot
be,
of contenders. There's a lot of contenders.
Mine would be, Senna S, Cueva du Sol... Retta Aposta, Decided Delago, Ferradura, Laringina.
Just figured out what it is.
Pier Guerino, Bico de Pato, or Dromo Jose Carlos plays.
Are you singing Spice Girls Viva Ferreira forever in Brazilian?
I'm singing the names of the corners
okay.
of the Odromo José Carlos Spice to the tune of Viva Forever by the Spice Girls. Do you remember the Spice Girls?
Oh, boy, do I remember the Spice Girls. There's so much to unpack in this race. I'm actually worried that this show's not going to be funny.
Because we're going to want to talk about Formula One too
now
much.
We have to fucking talk about racing.
Yeah.
Normally we could, oh, look at Horner would make a good Popeye. You know what I mean? Normally
Carlos
we could
Sainz
just,
looks like a Thunderbird
oh,
puppet.
Isn't it funny that Charles Leclerc likes an ice bath? Look at Lewis's receding hairline.
Yeah,
now,
look at Gasly's delts.
Ooh, look at...
Who gives a fuck about Gasly's delts
the
anymore?
The greatest showman. We've built a rod for our own back.
We have.
Because this week was an actually fascinating race.
There were two fascinating races.
Two's for the sprint?
Yeah. We were made That's to get our words, weren't we?
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll, baby.
When George won the sprint race, absolutely mega. That's how we roll.
He stopped saying mega,
baby,
because he listens to the podcast.
Because of us. Yeah. Because of us. He can't pull off anything, George Russell. He can't make anything sound cool, which is good, I think. But it's when nerds try and be cool. You know, it's when the Arctic Monkeys start dressing like Elvis, and you're like, guys, just be the nerds. Just Ocon, don't get a stylist. Because what he meant to say was, that's how we do it, or this is how we roll. But he got them, he made an amalgam incorrect phrase, like a little nerd.
But that's what, he's goofy. He's not like the Arctic Monkeys. The Arctic Monkeys really love the smell of their own guff. Whereas George Russell is like, he's honest. He's an authentic man. And I love him.
Was it authentic when he cried on camera? Not that he cried on camera, but that he sat behind Carlos Sainz. And I did think, mate, you can literally cry anywhere, but you're doing it on camera.
Well, I think when he, was it in Bahrain? Was it in Abu Dhabi that he...
Oh, when he got Lewis's seat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Lewis called in a hit.
Yes. Yeah, Lewis from... He phoned up Angela and was like, listen, put some bananas in that exhaust.
Yeah. Get some, we need to get some rotating tortoise shells.
He took a banana leaf out of Alonso's book, didn't he? When Alonso allegedly paid off the pit crew, and Hamilton did the same thing. It's like, listen, guys, I'll give.
Can't have him making me look like. It's like, I mean, imagine being Bottas in that situation as well.
Just Lewis on the when he was on a video call with his engineers before Russell took his seat, and he just went, "Who's got the time?" He went, "Oh, what a swatch." Are you wearing a swatch? Do you like, how do you feel about Rolexes? Do you like surfboards? Because I've got 8 surfboards and 8 Rolexes that I don't even need. So if any of you, you know, like if you could do, you could just have them. But the thing is if you do a slow pit stop, then maybe you'll all end up with a little Christmas stocking Rolex.
I've got these tires that I just picked up from the local Quick Fit around the corner. Now, usually they're off a 1980s Ford Sierra. But what I'd like you to do with them is put them on George's car.
Do you know what would be funny this race is if we actually just, do you guys like jammy Dodgers? What if we stuck some jammy Dodgers on the, George would find it lol. He would find it lol. He'd lol. That's how we roll. I've got some, I'm going to do some movie quotes in the style of George Russell, and okay. I'm going to get it wrong, but I want you to guess what film it is.
Okay.
Okay. Let me get into character.
Mega, absolutely mega. There's no place like where we live.
From the Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home.
Yeah. I'm leader of the planet. I'll try and phrase it a bit more mega. I'm leader of the planet.
I'm king of the world.
Correct.
But from what?
King of the world. Oh.
I'm king of the world. Oh, what's that from?
I'd like to draw. Can I draw you with you? Do you want to get your, you got absolutely mega jubblies.
Oh, right. Okay. It's from Titanic. Okay, great.
I'll return.
I'll be back, Terminator.
Here's gazing at you, child.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Oh, absolutely mega. Okay, and one more. I think I'd like to phone where I live, please. you got 10p for the phone box. I'd like to. Oh, absolutely. That's.
You got it?
Yeah. It's ET.
The extraterrestrial.
You aren't in points. A position for. You aren't in an emotional position to handle me being honest.
That's A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay, so we've got a new segment on the show. Firstly, I'm Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
is Dirty Air.
Before we get into the race review, we've got a new segment on the show called... That's Me and the Horner. That's Me and the Horner.
Yeah, we were developing that just 5 minutes before we... came on air.
I've got what I'm going to do is every week I'm going to give you a quote from Christian Horner,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to say, is it accurate or cognitive dissonance? Okay,
so it's a real quote from
it's
him,
a real quote from
and
Christian
I have
Horner.
To psychoanalyze Christian
I want
Horner.
You to say he's absolutely right, or the man is just making up whatever he wants and saying whatever he wants. Okay?
I feel like you've loaded this, but that's fine.
Christian Horner says that Max Verstappen's 2022 title-winning season has been the most dominant performance from a driver he has ever seen.
I don't think it's mad to say that.
Oh, Max, he's bigger. Bigger than you. He is driving better than anyone. The distance on the track. Oh no, he wouldn't let Checo through because of Monaco. That's him on the corner.
I can keep going.
Yeah, I was waiting for you.
That's me on the parabolica.
Yeah.
Listening to Jos Verstappen.
Do you think Jos and...
I was waiting to do night swimming as night driving. That's all I was
night
waiting for.
Night driving deserves a quiet night.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jos and Helmut they've just drilled it into Max. They're under no, like losing. What's the bit in the first Fast and Furious? It doesn't matter if you win.
I don't know.
Really?
I'd just like to stop you right there and say, I don't know.
You don't know?
I've never seen a Fast and Furious film.
When Vin Diesel beats the guy who died, Paul Daniels, whatever his name was. He's a magician. But he beats the guy and he goes, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
The only memory of in a film I have of Vin Diesel is in Triple X, where he's in the four-poster bed in the mansion, and there's a woman in there who's being all sexy and sort of shiny. And then he takes his shirt off and he goes, "Oh, the things I do for my country."
What about the bit when he dies in Saving Private Ryan?
Never seen it.
You've never seen Saving Private Ryan?
Didn't know Vin Diesel was in it.
They so save him, but a lot of them pay the price.
Okay.
Vin Diesel, interestingly enough, in France, is just a horrible drink.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ah, no! This Vin is Diesel!
Do you think that Jos has just, like, sandbagged Max into thinking that you can't even give away a position? I mean, he's won the world championship. Max Verstappen, all the toys. He has all the toys. And then someone else goes, "Hey, can I have one of your toys?" And Max went, "Absolutely fucking not."
He was so good at being magnanimous and seeming like he'd grown up. The act was so consistent and strong. And all it took was for the car to be a little bit slower for one race after he'd already won the championship.
He's already won it.
And suddenly, "No, I have no interest in doing that. No." I mean, it was so much worse than all the brat behavior that we've seen from, like, Vettel when he was at Red Bull, or Hamilton when he was up against Rosberg, or Rosberg when he was up against Hamilton. These were people who were actually competing for world championships. It was done. It's over. And his mate, who has helped him absolutely no end, whose introduction into the team has coincided with Max's ability to win a world championship. Oh my God. And the list of things that he's done, whether it's holding off Hamilton in the last race, whether it's like changing his tyres at the end, not for his own good, and taking that risk on himself so he can get the fastest lap point to take it away from Hamilton, to, I mean, numerous times that we've heard Max on the radio going, Checo's a hero, man. Checo's a beast, man. Just give it the fuck back. You child, you asshole.
Max would, it was very much like the bit in Gladiator where he stabs Russell Crowe in the back right before the fight.
Yes.
Max Verstappen would, if you somehow miraculously survived a water landing of a commercial airline jet, he would push you down to get out of the plane first.
Yeah.
He is an absolutely petulant brat with no dignity. And I'm going to insert our second contender for a Dirty Air Song of the Race, which is Cyndi Lauper's True Colors.
Oh.
Which we had multiple DMs about. Lots
Cyndi Lauper's.
Yeah, lots of people.
Lots of Cyndi Lauper fans in the Dirty Air.
I think more people going, "We saw Max's True Colors." What an absolute dick. I mean, I know Checo probably crashed in Monaco on purpose, and this was potentially Max getting his payback.
He's already won.
You've already won the world championship. You're already in first class. And someone's walked past and gone, "You got any spare change?" And you've just punched them in the face.
Also, he's helped him since then. Like, they've been, like, that was ages ago.
Yeah.
And it's not, and I think it's a pretty big leap to say that Checo crashed on purpose.
I mean, I think if you rewatch it, it's highly likely that he just plunked it in the wall to secure his pole. And it worked. He got to win the race.
And cried.
And then he got to cheat on his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, in retrospect, everything came up.
We've got to stop talking about it. We have to let it go. It's too much.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into our Formula One.
My song of the race is far more optimistic, I would say, just before we get into the race review. It's Do You Remember the First Time by Pulp, because Super Georgie Russell won his first race and was filled with all of the emotion of somebody experiencing their first time. And it was beautiful to see. And much as we could focus on petulant bullshit from a little brat, I think it would be far more hopeful and joyous to talk about lovely George winning his lovely first race and getting filled with a sense of history and every moment that had led to this and the realization of a dream, you know, 20 odd years in the making.
Song of the race, A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman, potential because of George's win.
Yeah.
A million dreams are keeping him awake.
People might get quite confused if it's from The Greatest Showman.
Because we
and it's nothing to do
with Zhou Guanyu.
Zhou Guanyu.
Yeah, I mean, really, this race was really nothing.
It was nothing to do with Zhou Guanyu,
was it?
Off the top of your head, where did Zhou Guanyu finish?
14th.
Nah,
12th. I thought that Mercedes handled that whole thing like real champs as well. They didn't ask them to switch positions. Obviously, they wouldn't. Lewis knows that he's not. What's the point in asking for position? Even the fact that we have to discuss the concept of switching positions takes so much away from the natural element of what makes racing great. Mm. The fact that Ferrari went, should we swap them? Nah, fuck them. The fact that Red Bull went, yeah, let's swap them. And the fact that Mercedes didn't even mention it. It should be banned.
But I don't agree. I quite like it sometimes. I think given that it's a possibility and that it's not completely mental and not looked down upon as a concept, I mean, the drivers knowing it's a possibility means that they oversell it. They want it too much, too often. Mm-hmm. Lewis Hamilton, there was no justification. Lewis Hamilton knew that he couldn't ask for it. Why? What? Why? So, because I'm get better. What?
Yeah. No. Well, no. Hang on a minute. Sorry. Who has made an album's worth of material and who hasn't? Lewis Hamilton. He's like Prince. He's got a whole album of bangers sat in a vault waiting to come out. George never made any music, has he? So
not that you know of, no. But
what music would if George Russell decided to make an album? Let's say he goes down that crazy thing that when Lewis was drinking the Yes Punch for all those years, and he started going, yeah, actually, I think I want to make music.
He'd George Ezra.
You think George Russell would sound like George Ezra?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'll be riding driver's seat, driving in the car because I am a driver. You're not.
Driving round Kings Lynn, now it's got a ring road and it's got a bypass. Huh.
Wow.
Okay, let's get into our Formula One race review.
Formula One race review. Formula One Heineken Grande Premio de Sao Paulo 2022.
Brazil. Hey, do you know what I like when I'm in Brazil? Nothing says Brazilian experience more than a Dutch beer.
Mm.
I absolutely love going to Brazil and cracking open a fresh can of Heineken beer.
Yeah.
In 10th place in the Constructors' Championship, Williams, Latifi finishing 16th, Albon finishing 15th. You got anything to say about... I mean, there's one team I'm particularly curious to see how you're going to review them this week, and they're coming up quite soon.
I know they are, yeah. Latifi and Albon. Albon pitted early. Latifi, I don't think I saw on screen once.
I'm going to miss him.
I'm going to miss Latifi.
I'm going to miss
well.
Latifi. I listened to him on the big F1 pod, and he came across so well and so humble and
what do these people
honest.
Say when they get interviewed afterwards? Like, oh, Nicholas, how did you feel that race went? I don't know, just nothing. Wasn't it? I was just hanging out, like doing the race. What do you want from me? What do you want me to say? Yeah, the race was the circuit was a certain shape, and I drove all around it for ages, and then I stopped driving around it. Like, I didn't overtake anyone, nor was I overtaken because I started at the back. Like,
he was only 37 seconds off the leader.
I know.
It was a very tight pack.
And Yuki Tsunoda was about 7 minutes behind
everyone. I know, it was very strange.
But because
wasn't
nobody
it?
Really gave a shit, like, yeah. You didn't find out what happened to him. It was obviously like a really slow stop that nobody
covered.
You know
when you're playing Mario Kart and then first, second, and third have all won, and you just have to trundle to the end for another 40 seconds.
Yeah.
And but everyone gets to see how bad you are.
Yeah.
In that moment, because they've finished racing.
On the four split screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
so your three friends are now like,
yeah,
Dry
Bowser's throwing
something.
His head back, going, ah, ha, ha, ah, ha, ha, really proud of himself. And then you just, and all your friends have to see how shit you are at racing.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
At that point, I really feel like if you are over a lap behind, they should just have a giant cloud come and pick you up and just carry you, or a bullet torpedo to fire you to the end.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I've long been a proponent of the like the halfway point opt out. Right, we're not doing it. Let's just fuck it. Like, let's just save the fuel, the power unit.
If they'd have just gone, Tsunoda, can you just fucking pull in? Can you just stop?
It's not going to happen,
you
mate.
You could just stop.
It's not going to happen. Let's save our energy, save the tires, save the money, save the fuel, save the everything. Save, like, you can
save the whales.
Save the trees. Save those snails.
Ninth place, speaking of which, Alpha.
Howdy. Well, we've done that now, haven't we?
Well, Tsunoda 17th. Well, we haven't talked about... As the year comes to a close, my defining memories of each driver are quite cemented for this year, I feel like. And we'll talk about it next week on the live pod. But Gasly, for me this year, very much, if I were to define his year this year, it would be his neck and his back. Photo of his mum.
Oh, right.
His neck, his back,
yeah.
That picture of his mum, which had both her and her crack.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those. What else would you... I think there's a slight amount of almost denial going on in Gasly, where he said in a press junket this week that because he's got so many points that are close to him being banned.
Oh yeah.
For losing his license, and he said, "Well, I can't risk taking any more mistakes because I might be in a real championship contender car next year," and I just wanted to be like, Gasly, let me stop you right there. I don't think that's going to happen, nor does anyone else. So please stop.
What about the way that Alpine have performed this year gives him the impression that that's the case?
I mean, Alpine have had a great year this year.
Yeah, they have, but they're not championship contenders, are
they? No. And even Gasly racing at his best, he's going to finish best of the rest next year.
And also, Gasly could be in any car and he's not going to be a championship contender.
Because you don't think he's good enough?
No, he's not at the same level as somebody like George Lewis, Max, or Charles, is he?
No, but he might get a Jenson Button and have like a one-off good year.
Yeah.
Not the tyre brand. But I just, if you were to sum up Gasly's season, what are the words that come to mind for you?
Nora Jones.
Okay.
Just quite easy to ignore. Like background music, you know?
I like Nora Jones.
Yeah, I know, but it's background music, isn't it?
In, oh my God, okay, I'm so excited about this. In eighth place, Haas F1 team. What you going to do with all that?
Haas!
All that
Haas.
Inside them.
Ferrari.
Kevin Magnussen.
There are some inevitabilities in this life.
Mm-hmm.
The sun will always rise.
Mm-hmm.
The squirrels will scamper.
Mm-hmm.
The birds will sing.
Yes.
And somebody who has an absolutely incredible, uplifting and joyous experience in qualifying or sprint race will crash out when it comes to the real race. How many times, like I'm so annoyed that I didn't put a bet on Magnussen to DNF. I've never been so sure of anything in my entire life that he wouldn't finish the race. As soon as I saw him after qualies that had even less meaning than usual because it had no relation to where he would end up on the grid, which was eighth, Schumacher finishing last in qualies, and then them starting on the grid eighth and 12th. Like they sort of found themselves, like there was some gravitational pull.
Oh, well, like the universe brought them together to have a shit result.
They were kind of trying to correct
yeah,
itself.
God wasn't watching for a few minutes. And then he turned on for the grid walk and went,
oh my God.
Wait, what the fuck have I done?
So I will talk about Magnussen because I feel like
Oh my God.
Well, he's done something.
I was expecting you to just go, nope.
This is what I always wanted.
Nope.
He's done two things. Not only did he win the qualifying, but then he crashed out in the first lap.
Okay, hang on. He didn't win the qualifying. He went out first for qualifying in a session that was red flagged for a sprint race.
Yeah, but I actually didn't watch it live, and I saw the headlines and went, Magnussen wins qualifying. And then all the headlines were aghast at something that's incredible that happened.
Did you go
and actually
to
just started raining and they didn't change their tyres in time.
Yeah, did you have sports day at your school?
There was sports day at my school. Whether or not I had it is another question.
So you know when all the athletes do the 400 metres and then at the end of the day, all the shit kids get to do an egg and spoon race?
Sure.
Which I won, and I got a ribbon that was the same as all the other kids.
So it was like you were one of the athletes.
I won the egg and spoon race, and then I got to stand in line with all the winners. And then a couple of the kids were like, yeah, but it doesn't count, does it? Because you won the fucking egg and spoon race. I sprinted 1,500 meters. And I knew they were right. And all my pride popped, and I felt very sad.
Yeah.
That's what Magnussen's sprint race qualifying first really was, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't feel like he knew that he'd won the egg and spoon race, did it?
Max, no, he treated it very much like a victory.
Yeah.
But when Max went over and went, congratulations, of course Max went over, because he went, I'm going to overtake you so quickly tomorrow. And I'll be honest with you, I was surprised that cute. The most impressive thing that I saw of Magnussen this weekend is that Max didn't get him on the first corner. It took Max a second to overtake him.
Magnussen started very well. Like his life, he drove it very, very well. Yeah. It's just after a little while, it turned out that the Haas is actually not as fast as many of the cars behind it.
No.
So there was a, it was quite a humiliating procession of cars going, sorry, mate. I would have been quite embarrassed. Were I in one of the Ferraris?
Do you reckon anyone did that face? Do you reckon anyone did an awkward face?
Sorry. No, I think it was like trying not to look. Like seeing, I think it was like seeing a parent on the school run that you don't want to talk to. Just head down and going, okay, just don't say hello. Don't say hello. Oh God, okay, I'm passed. And it was just so funny that he, I mean, I felt sorry for him, but also when I was over it, because I was over it before it happened, I knew what was happening.
When do you think Gunther wrote this down and went, that's good, I'll save that? When do you think he, when do you think he came up with the phrase, well, when the train shoop, you had to bring a spoon?
I think that is probably some old sort of expression from the village where he's from.
From whatever weird country he's from with that accent.
Austria?
He's a little, you don't really know the accent he's from. No, he's Italian.
He's not Italian.
Yeah, he is. Gunther Steiner is Italian. Yes, it is. He has an accent where you don't really know. The country, he says things like grill crow in the bitter.
What? Yeah, he's Italian.
Yeah.
Gunther Steiner is not Italian. I mean, obviously he is Italian because people like your name, where your name is from is not necessarily where you're from, blah, blah, blah. But it does feel like that is. Steiner holds Italian and American passports and lives in Mooresville, North Carolina, with his wife Gertrude and his daughter Greta. He's from South Tyrol, which is a German-speaking area of Italy.
Yeah.
Fuck me. You learn so much watching Formula One, don't you? Amazing.
Seventh place, Aston Martin, 10th. Oh, sorry. Where do you think Lance Stroll was going to finish?
12th.
And where did he finish?
He finished
10th.
10th. So good for Lance Stroll. He was happy with his point. And he said so in an interview afterwards. Of course, I'm happy with the point.
Lance Stroll, today, you know, we wanted to go out and, you know, give it a really a good and try and get in the points. And last night, I was home and I was going to bed and my stepmother offered to read me a bedtime story. You know, that Jolly Postman, it's a postman delivering letters to all the fairy tale characters. And I was a little tired, so I said not tonight. And she said, well, I'll read it to you while you have your hot bath. And I was in a hot bath and my stepmother came in. I thought, oh, she's wearing a sarong. And she said, do you mind if I'll jump in? And it's better if I'm a little bit chilly. And I didn't want her to be cold. So she hopped in the bath with me and put bath salts. And she said, wait till they effervesce. And but she dropped it between my legs. And I waited for the bubbles made me, they felt a little funny. And she opened up the book, but when she opened it up, it blew apart the billows of her sarong.
She got into the bath with her sarong on.
Wearing her sarong in the bath. I could see the undulating outline of her nipples and supple breasts. And
right,
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've had to leave Lance there. He had a good race anyway, didn't he, Ted? Yeah, he did. A bit weird when he started talking about his stepmom's undulate. And so So Ted, so his stepmom got in the bath with her sarong on and it still billowed open despite the fact that it had been saturated by the water. So it was heavy with it. It had taken on water, but still billow. It seems that is what Lance was saying. Yeah, well, that's an interesting story. Physics-wise, I'd be interested to examine that a little bit more later. Well, we will have Lance coming to join us on the podium later. So if anybody has any questions.
10th and 11th. I mean, that's a much better result than Aston Martin I used to. Sebastian Vettel's penultimate race.
Oh, it's sad.
Before he retires to his bee farm.
Yeah.
And tries to save the world. In 6th place, Alfa Romeo, the greatest German in 12th. And in 9th place, with a lovely little moustache, looking like an 80s actor in a sort of action film that dies in the third act. It's time for Smacky Pod Pod Pod. Bottas, yeah, I mean, that's a good result. He was very pleased that he got some points, wasn't he? Bottas.
Yeah, he was.
As he watched George Russell win in his car.
He looked fantastic as well.
Yeah.
He looked like he'd really... It's amazing what happens when these people kind of mellow out and the pressure of high-stakes Formula One racing leaves them. And they can finally just enjoy not only the race, but they can enjoy themselves. They're not hampered by the enormity of the pressure of what it is to drive for, you know, Mercedes or Ferrari in Vettel and Kimi's case. They can just be themselves, and their personality blossoms, I think, outside these huge teams. I can't wait to see what happens to these drivers. Like, I wonder if he'll go from Mercedes straight to retirement, or whether he'll ever take a season
like in a Haas,
in something like that, and he'll just grow his beard out and stop sort of plucking his eyebrows, and he'll just be like, "Yeah, fuck it."
I don't know if I want to see that.
I don't know if I want to see it either. I do. I want to see
really.
It. Yeah, no, I want to see him. I want to see his. How he relaxes into his later years.
No, but he will not stop till he gets an eighth championship, and he will leave so quickly. The second he wins an eighth title, if he does, he'll pull up the visor and Toto will go, "Congratulations, Lewis." And before he can even, Lewis will go,
I'm retired.
I quit. Bye-bye.
I feel like the drama and the narrative, the tantalizing narrative of next season of Super Georgie Russell, the pride of King's Lynn, fighting Lewis for a world championship next season is what we all want to see.
Yes.
And what we all need to see.
And what we simply must see.
And what we simply must see.
Yeah.
And I think we deserve a treat
after
this season.
Yeah.
Because I loved this Brazilian Grand Prix, but it is notable by... in the fact that it is an exception to the other races we've seen this season, in that it has been a good race. Not that Max isn't a dildo.
5th place, fast becoming my Haas. McLaren, just 2 DNFs. I just don't want to talk about McLaren anymore. I'm over McLaren.
Yeah, I think there's so much to be said, isn't there?
They're stupid. Who the fuck puts orange and blue together? They deserve everything they're getting.
Danny saying before the race, I just want, the goal is some points. Gonna go get some points. And like he was so, some points and some fun.
Don't,
and he had no points and no fun.
Jinx padlock 1, 2, 3, Danny. Yeah. Jinx padlock 1, 2, 3.
And it was the collision of like jinxes. Yeah. Him and Magnussen. Their best ideas for the race colliding into one another.
Really, whenever any driver is walking to their car and whichever 50-year-old man in a sharp business shirt with no tie stops them and says, "What are you hoping for?" Every driver should go, "I'd like to crash on the first
round." I'm going to crash in the first round.
Yeah. I'd really like to have quite a shunt on the first lap that renders my car inoperable so I can't win.
Me? I'm losing this race, I'll tell you that much for sure.
If drivers said
any
that,
plans for today, I'm gonna have a stinker, an absolute stinker.
I think I want to chunk it. Actually, I'd really like to chunk it into the wall on the first corner. Thank you very much, Lando. How much food poisoning can one boy get in a year? Does he have food poisoning? What's going on with Lando Norris? So many times this year, he's missed the thing because he's got a gammy tummy or something or other.
I feel like it's now gotten into the, oh, like you got like, fool me once, shame on me, or whatever it is, shame on you. Like food poisoning once, oh, poor boy. Food poisoning seventh time, you want to check what you're eating, mate. Like someone's trying to kill you, or you don't know. You know you got to cook chicken, don't you? You don't got to cook chicken.
I can't figure out, is it, I want to think it's like a funny student situation where he doesn't know how to prepare food himself.
Oh, yeah. But he
doesn't cook his own meals.
Like, oh, yeah, have you never had like KFC tartare?
Yeah, can I get that chicken breast medium rare, please?
You never had chicken sushi?
Lando Norris finds fish icky.
He's a fucking child.
Yeah, he really is. I don't think it's food poisoning. I think there's something childish going on, something petulant, where he's refusing to, well, I'm just not going to go today.
It's probably something like he scratches his bum and then bites his nails. Like a little boy just spends all this time like scratching his arsehole and then like
he's got
biting
eye.
His nails. Yeah, he's definitely just like a gross little boy.
The thing also, someone told me this week that they were working with Lando Norris. They were filming him for something, and a fan came over and asked for an autograph. And Lando Norris looked at them and went, "Fuck off." You gotta have some balls to be 22 years old, getting 10 million.
Fuck off.
Fuck off. And then the person filming was like, went, yeah, but maybe he'd had that all day. And I went, you know what? I think if you're being paid £50 million a year, you just have to sign every autograph and take every photo.
Sign every autograph.
I get it. If he's in the waiting room at the doctor's to get his pink eye examined.
Yeah.
And the nurse comes over and goes, Lando, firstly, you should probably, sorry,
do you want some hand sanitizer?
I just noticed that you've had your hands in your pants for a good 60 seconds in the waiting room, and you seem to be uncomfortably scratching your anus. But then I saw you immediately poke your eye and say to your mummy, look at me, mummy, look, I'm poking my eye. Oh, look at me.
Look, I can make my eyeball
I'm touching
move.
My eyeball and I'm not even blinking. And I noticed quite a lot of what looked like fecal matter underneath your untrimmed 22-year-old fingernail. Do you mind if I just have an autograph quickly?
Fuck off. Fuck off. Did he say fuck off? That's like a Logan Roy way to say it.
I think he really landed on the K.
Fuck off.
Fourth place, Alpine.
Ma copine.
Promompine.
Jesus pour moi.
Ocon eighth, Alonso fifth. Alonso very brazenly saying one more race, then it's over, finally. Which I like the placement of the word finally. I know it was a language thing, but normally you'd go one more race, then it's finally over. But Alonso chose to go, one more race, then it's over.
He understands how to structure a joke, doesn't he?
Yeah,
you have the key information on the last word.
Exactly.
One more race and then it's over. Finally. That finally is the twist, isn't it? It's the reveal.
There's a story
now
that...
Now you know how I feel about Esteban.
There's the story that when Danny moved to McLaren after the first race, Alonso went up to Danny and went, so how bad's the car? And sort of went, welcome to McLaren, and walked off.
Sorry, what happened?
There's a story that when Danny went to McLaren.
Yeah.
After the first race of the season, Alonso went up to Danny and went, how bad's the McLaren to drive? And then Danny gave his answer and Alonso just went, welcome to McLaren, and walked off.
Fuck.
And I wonder what Alonso's going to do to mess with Ocon when he leaves. Like, I think what it would just be is a framed picture of Alonso having sex with Ocon's girlfriend.
That is now. If you had given me a guess about what you were going to say, that is what I would have guessed.
Would it have been a framed photo?
It would have been something to do with fucking his girlfriend. I think the framed photo was the biggest, like, changeable. Like, that was the biggest what if.
What might be more effective, and also in context of, like you say, structuring a joke, would be a FaceTime call the day after the season ends, where Alonso FaceTimes Ocon and Alonso just goes, hey, mate. You know, one-on-one facing each other on the camera, he goes, great, you know, I know we had our differences, but all the best next year. And, you know, I just wanted to end it on a good note. And Ocon goes, oh, thanks very much. We'll have a good Christmas. And Alonso goes, yeah, you too. And then he just pans the camera back right before he hangs up, and Ocon's girlfriend is sleeping next to him. That's what I think he should do.
It might be slightly. So I think it will, in order to fuck with Ocon, sure, it's going to be, he's going to ring up Esteban and he's going to say, "Hey, Esteban, good luck for next year and everything. Listen, before we part company, you know, want to wish you the best of luck and everything. I think I left my world championship trophy in your bed. Can I come and get it at some point?" And Esteban's going to go, "Why is your world championship? I just take it everywhere with me." "Right, I understand that, but why is it in my..." "It's not your business. Can I just come and get it, please?" And that way, Esteban, who was it? Why was he there? What? That's what's going to fuck with him more. Esteban, like, just Fernando's too cool to go, "Look, I'm fucking your..."
Yeah.
He just will leave a little, "I think I left my world championship trophy in your bed."
And he'll never know.
He knows.
Yeah.
He'll just never know.
He'll never know the exact reason.
And he'll never ask anybody about it because he won't want to know. He'll just go, I'll just ignore it. Because it's easier to not
and
know.
And he still has to give him back the trophy as well, doesn't he?
I think actually...
Alonso, don't worry, I'll FedEx it to you. No, I'll come get it.
Yeah. And he'll have to pass it to him.
Ugh, really good.
That's good fucking. That's good fucking with somebody.
Third place. Oh no, also, I'm sorry. When they were ordered,
yeah,
not...
"Don't fucking race each other, you little dicks."
It was so parental, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It reminded me of you when you were with your kids.
Yeah. Donnie, can you not hear me? Can you not hear me? Why are you not listening? Can you hear me? Hello? Look at me.
A lot of team orders this race. A lot of team orders.
What was really interesting is when the difference between hearing the engineers and race strategists, whoever it is, the Bonos of this world,
mm-hmm,
speaking to the drivers, the difference between them speaking to midfield drivers,
mm-hmm,
and race leading drivers.
Yeah.
Like, "Max, what happened? Max, that wasn't..." "Oh, Max." To, "Do not fucking race. Do you understand me, little shits?"
Another contender for Song of the Race is No Surprises by Radiohead. Continuing, in third place, Mercedes with a 1-2.
With a 1-2. With a gorgeous 1-2 as well, wasn't it?
I really think if I could sum up Mercedes's year, I would say, I just think what a great way to come back from what was the most catastrophic beginning to a season I've seen in as long as I can remember in Formula One.
Oh, and also the most exciting thing is it gives us something real to, that's what this season has been missing since, I don't know, like May or something. This race has been missing something to cheer for.
Yeah.
Because everything's felt like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
And now Mercedes, from the doldrums, from the depths of a bucket of shit, have clambered out and now are essentially neck and neck with the, you know, early anointed world champions of the beginning of the season, Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Like the embarrassments and the next big thing, and now neck and neck, and have joined each other in the middle. And it just goes to show what an amazing season Mercedes have had to pull themselves out of the depths of hell. And also the extraordinary fall from grace that Ferrari have had.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about which religious autocracy are we in next week?
Abu Dhabi.
Yes, Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi.
Yes. Don't be gay.
Don't be gay in Abu Dhabi. That's the national anthem.
Don't be gay in Abu Dhabi.
Hey, do you like your hands? Well, we can cut them off. Hey, Formula One, how about you stop racing in shitty places? Speaking of shitty places, Ferrari, who are probably going to get cinched for the second place in the constructors next week.
And second place in the drivers.
Oh, Leclerc fourth, Sainz third. I can't even be bothered to talk about the tyre situation in qualifying. I
thought the race, which race strategy do you reckon they were on? Like pie.
So what goes beyond, what's the alphabet you said that they use?
The Cyrillic alphabet.
Yeah, so you have the normal alphabet, Then you have the Cyrillic alphabet. But what's beyond that?
Yeah, pi. What ratio do you want? 3.14267.
I think it's beyond numbers. I think it smells now.
I bet you somebody messages us and tells me that that wasn't pi, by the way. Some dweeb is going to message us and go, actually, pi is 3.1.
I don't think those people listen to the show.
I think that's exactly... They're definitely, no, we have a great listenership, but there will be somebody.
You know that my heart beats fast, Ferrari. Meet me in the way. That's the worst song of the year. That's the worst song I've ever heard is that stupid Ferrari, which you hear in the background at Formula One races now.
Yeah.
It's a really clever move for, I'm guessing, the Italian or Swedish songwriter that wrote that song and went, you know, my heart beat fast, Ferrari. Do you still want me?
I'm digging oil now, Patronus. Josh has a very funny reel about that. You should go onto Josh Weller's Instagram and look at his funny reel about it. I enjoyed it.
It's the perfect song to match Ferrari's year. Because it's a horrible song. They've had a horrible year.
My favorite Ferrari moment of the race was Charles on the radio repeatedly at the end going, won't you please think of the driver, like, you know, that character from The Simpsons. Well, somebody please think of the children.
And then also it was Ferrari going, let's not listen as well from The Simpsons.
Pleading. Well, please, will you think of the championship? Won't you please let me? You're 8 seconds behind him, mate. Give it a fucking rest. Okay?
Carlos had had such a good race. If they chimed in and gone, can you swap this? Because there's not much in it between the two of you. This has been one of the great joys for me this year, is watching Carlos Sainz go from the Garfunkel to basically, I think, the better racer and driver this year. He had the foresight to know he could go into that team, and he did it at the beginning of the season. Like we were saying earlier, every driver should go, yeah, I think I'm going to crash today. He went in this year and went, yeah, I'm not really going to actually race very hard this year. I'm just going to try and be a good second driver. And he fucking flipped it.
The second half, it'd be interesting to see the points tally from the second half. Because if you take away the first three races of the season, I know that's a kind of bullshit thing to say because you can't and that's not how it works. But since the very strong start that Charles had and the very shit start that Carlos had, like the DNF after DNF after DNF that Carlos had, incredibly bad luck. Charles winning race after race for the first three or four. I think he won three out of four races or two out of three races, whatever it was. Like since then, Sainz will have accumulated way more points than that because like Charles was like 40, 50 points ahead and now he's, you know.
But this is what Ferrari do. It's like when they break in a horse. They break the spirit of the drivers till they end up as an eco warrior. Till they end up living in a Weetabix box. That's what Ferrari do. You think Seb would be trying to save the world if he hadn't gone to Ferrari? I highly doubt
it. Yeah.
He would be in a jacuzzi while do a little dance, make a little love plays, getting his toes licked by celebrities.
Yeah, it's like the same way that like all the Disney kids, like.
They all go insane.
And they all have to kind of go to Disney kid support groups. And, you know, Amanda Bynes is like Seb Vettel. Britney Spears is Kimmy.
That's really good. oh, no, I had a really good point to make there. Fuck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What were you saying?
I don't know.
I got it. And finally, in first place, I wanted to ask you about, have you seen Wakanda Forever yet, Alfie?
Have I seen Wakanda Forever?
There is this movie out, right? Disney Marvel Forever. Movie called Wakanda Forever, right? And I'd never heard of it. And then this week, Sergio Perez, or as I like to call him now, Sir Gio Perez. He, on his helmet, he said, oh, I'll advertise the movie on my helmet. And it's a really good way to advertise films, the joy of the silver screen.
You want to see it, don't you?
I want to see Wakanda Forever because I didn't want to see it. And then I saw it on a driver's helmet.
Mm.
We predicted that. We said it on the show like a month ago.
Yeah, we did.
That by the end of the season, drivers would be advertising films on their helmets.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? It's Black Panther 2. When Lewis won last year, he and the guy that plays Black Panther died. Lewis said Wakanda forever, and he got out the car and he did the logo, like the X.
The logo.
And he bent down and he did the black, I haven't seen it, but he did the Black Panther sign, right? Mm-hmm. Not the Olympic Black Panther sign, the movie Black Panther sign, where it's an X with your...
The Wakanda forever thing, yeah.
And clearly, when they put the movie out this year, they went, hey, you know, Lewis Hamilton loves, why don't we ask him to put Black Panther on his helmet?
But wasn't he doing that because the guy from the film had died?
My guess is they went to Lewis first.
Yeah.
And Lewis went, oh, actually, I think that's a really shit idea. So then Disney had to go, well, I mean, who else would probably do it? And I would love to know how many drivers said no before they got to Checo.
I reckon only 5.
That's still a lot. I mean,
what I quite like the idea of is, okay, you've got the big blockbusters on the top drivers, like Vettel next week is going to have like some French art house film on his helmet. He's going to have like Triangle of Sadness.
Wes
on
Anderson.
Oh, what movie's Seb advertising? Oh, it's Das Weisband. It's a sort of a wartime triptych. It's devastating. Coming. It's truly devastating.
It's coming. Just wait till the end of next season when they go, congratulations, Lewis. That's your first win of the 2023 season. Yeah, thanks, guys. I'd also like to thank Help, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which is showing now on ITV, brand new season.
Yeah, right into the Spider-Verse with that win.
I'd like to thank Manscaped. It's coming. They're going to be advertising ridiculous things on their helmets.
Yeah. And good for them.
No, not good for them. Just to sum up the race, I'm going to... my actual song of the day, given that he has the championship and that his dad and Helmut Marko have either... I don't know quite how they've indoctrinated this insane chaos into his brain where he can't even give up sixth place to his driver. I'm going to go with the 90s hit by New Zealand band OMC, How Bizarre.
How Bizarre.
Cruising down the Brazil Grand Prix in the hot, hot sun. My name's Josh Weller.
And I'm Alfie Brown.
And this
was Dirty Air.
And we'll see you all next week.
Next week, we're at the Tommy Field in Kennington. It's sold out, so there's no need for me to plug it.
If there are any returns, we will post them on our Twitter and Instagram. So if you are dying to come to the sold out Dirty Air Live, which is happening on Sunday, the 20th of November, we will be posting any returns on our social media at Very Dirty Air.
If you have anything that you'd particularly like to hear from us in the off season, then do let us know. We're up for ideas. We've got a few ourselves, but we are open to suggestion, aren't we, Joshua? And he nodded. And thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next week at the Tommy Field. Bye-bye.
How bizarre.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.